Praise the Lord. Well, yesterday was the 4th of July. And, you know, I think a lot of times we have a tendency in this country to take for granted the liberties and the freedom that we have. And I got news for you. Sometimes when you take things for granted, you can lose them. And we need to continually thank the Lord that we live in the country that we do. And we need to begin to just thank Him that He's on the throne, regardless of what's happening out there, or regardless of whether we agree with things that are happening or we don't agree with things that are happening. We need to realize that He's on the throne and nothing catches Him by surprise. And whatever He's going to accomplish out of everything that's going on out there today, He'll get the glory for it, for it's all over with. So the title to my sermon today is called Liberty. And I'm going to read you a couple things that you could hang them on your wall if you wanted to. They would be good sayings. And the first one is basically this. If your mind can conceive it and your heart believe it, then you can achieve it. And, you know, I think you'll understand as I go on down here why I'm greeting you some of these. And definedness of purpose is the starting point of all achievement. And if you have a defined purpose and you know what your purpose is, like Jim was even saying before, you know, we need to find our purpose in God. We need to find what God wants us to do. If you have that definedness of purpose, you can start. Purpose is the starting point of beginning to achieve whatever God wants you to achieve. And Lord, grant that I may always desire more than I can accomplish. And that sounds like a big thing to pray. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when I have to totally depend on you, your strength is made perfect in weakness. Okay? Now, those are all good sayings. You could hang them on any wall, any workplace. You could write them down. You could carry them in your billfold or anything else. But I'm going to tell you what. We need to come to a place where we begin to ask God, Lord, what would you have me do? And, you know, I'm going to read to you today out of James, the first chapter. I'm going to start reading at verse 22 through 25. And before I do that, I'm going to tell you that true liberty in Christ will bring about a death to self. True liberty in Christ. And in James, you know, I love that first chapter of James. And if you can read it in J.B. Phillips and a lot of different translations, and it's very good. A whole chapter sometime, just sit down and just meditate on that whole chapter because it's a wonderful chapter. But I'm going to pick up with verse 22. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man that he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, him being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Now, first of all, you have to begin to be a doer of the word. You know, in the Old Testament, when Abraham had an encounter with God, God began to speak to him and began to tell him some of the blessings that he was going to give him. You know, and I would venture to say there's probably not a person in here that in some time or some way God hasn't spoken to you, either directly, through a message, internally, whatever. Because I'm going to tell you, He speaks to us all the time. It's just a lot of times we're real dull of hearing. And a lot of times we don't want to hear what He says. But I'm going to tell you what, until we become doers of the word that he speaks to us, will not be doers of the work. Because you have to do the word that he speaks. He told Abraham to get up and get out to a land that he had shown him. Didn't tell him where he was going. Didn't tell him what he was going to be doing. Didn't tell him how much finances he'd have. Didn't tell him you'll have a job on the other side. Didn't tell him anything. But just told him, get up and get out to a land that I'll show you. And you know what? Abraham got up and started moving. And then when he started moving, God started unfolding what it was all about. And I got news for you sometimes. You have to put a little shoe leather behind the word when God gives it to you. And a lot of times, it's not always easy to put that shoe leather behind it. Because sometimes he doesn't give you much of a word. He just gives you a little bit. And you know, I've learned years ago, prophetically, when God gives me a prophetic word for somebody, he doesn't tell me what it's all about. He doesn't give me the explanation. He doesn't tell me, well, it's this or it's that, or it means this or it means that. He usually just has me give him a word. And sometimes it's just a couple of words. But if I'm obedient and I start giving those couple of words, then those couple of words turn into a lot more words. And you know, so many times we stand back and we say, God, if you'll just show me the whole plan, then I'll do it. It don't work like that, folks. It does not work like that. He does not show you the whole plan. He'll show you portions of the plan. He'll show you a little bit of the plan. And he'll say, now, you step out in faith and begin to move. You know, I've shared this with you before. When I was about 14, 15, I had an encounter with the Lord. And when I had that strong encounter with the Lord, you know, I was getting under conviction. And I actually went, I hadn't given my life to the Lord. But I knew God was real because I'd been going to church with my mother as a kid a lot. I'd went and seen a lot of the big-time evangelists and all those kind of things. But, you know, I would get under conviction at times. And I used to read Bible stories. I mean, I had a Bible story book that she gave me that the encyclopedia salesman talked her into buying some encyclopedias that she couldn't afford, which they don't do that anymore. Now they'll sell you a program or something or an app for your for your computer. But anyway, she bought them encyclopedias because the guy told her, well, you'll be hurting your children and they just won't have the knowledge they need in school and all. You know, he gave her the big sales pitch. And you could either get a science book or you could get a Bible story book. And I happened to be home when that was happening. And she says, well, if I'm going to buy these encyclopedias, she says, you can pick the book. Well, I always liked science. I always was very good at science. And I mean, I could pass science without even trying for some reason. I don't know why. But I mean, in school, in biology and all those things, I liked cutting things up and all the goofy stuff you did. And half the time I'd be the guy that would draw the pictures for the teacher to print out on a mimeograph. They didn't have copiers back then, mimeograph. And, you know, it would be my pictures of the frogs' insides or something else, you know. But I always liked science. I was always good at it. Didn't have to work hardly at all. It just came very easy to me and very natural to me. I could either get that science book or that Bible story book. And I chose the Bible story book. And I would read that book a lot, especially when I'd get a little bit under conviction. So I love the stories, and I didn't know then back then that God would use me prophetically to teach at times out of the Old Testament, you know, but I would read those stories, and I just loved reading about Samson or reading about different ones, you know, David or whatever, and I just loved reading those stories. And anyway, I went to bed that night, and I'd been reading those stories, and I've told you all this before, and I've shared it before, but, you know, I had a visitation of the Lord that night. And basically, I had went to bed saying, I believe, Lord, but why can't I serve you? And he showed me graphically the things I was doing. That was the reason I couldn't serve him at that point. And yet his anointing and stuff was so strong. And he showed me standing up behind a pulpit like this speaking. And I thought, oh, that's not me, man. That's just not me. And if you knew me in younger years, you'd know I didn't like to get around large crowds of people. Didn't even like to go in restaurants because I'd had that epilepsy when I was a little kid, from the time I was 9 till I was 12. So it took a real miraculous thing for me to even get up and want to get in front of people. And to this day, I'm not that gung-ho to get up. You know, I mean, you know, if somebody else says, well, Oscar, I got a word, I'll probably usually step aside and let them share it. But, you know, anyway, what I'm telling you is that he gradually began to change me. Gradually. But he did it. And it took different times of me coming to a place to where I would say to the Lord, I'd say, well, Lord, he started giving me poetry, and he'd give me a lot of poems, and I'm going to share a poem with you here in a minute. But he'd give me poetry, you know, and the reason that all came about was I was reading a Helen Steiner Rice poem called The Windows of Gold one time, and I read that poem, and I thought, man, and I was a Christian at that point, and I thought, what a tremendous poem. It just had a whole sermon in that poem. And the sermon was, the basic gist of it was, your search for God will begin and end when you search for him and find him within. Wow. What a tremendous word. And, you know, I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I just wish I could write something like that. Well, I've never written anything like that, but he did give me some poetry after that. And the first poem he gave me was one that goes, rich was he, yet poor he became, for he loved you so much that he even bore your shame. For not only did he die upon Calvary's tree, but he left the splendor of heaven to set all captives free. The sacrifice he made was one without compare, for he left the glory of heaven, his love for all to share. And you ask, oh, how is this wondrous gift applied to even me? For he brought you from the realm of death to that of eternity. And you ask, oh, how do I receive this gift? For the answer is simple, you see. For if by faith you'll humble your heart, you'll receive a peace and harmony. That was the first poem he ever gave me. And other than that, I think I'd wrote Roses Are Red and Violets Are Blue, you know, and that was my poems, you know. But, you know, when you ask God for something, guess what? If you believe he'll give it to you, he'll give it to you a lot of times. But he also expects you to use it. And a lot of times we don't use the things that God's given us. If God's given you a good singing voice, I got news for you. He wants you to sing. Or he wouldn't have given you the ability to sing. If he's given you the ability to organize things, he wants you to help with organizational things. With the right attitude, because a lot of people who like to organize, they want to be in charge all the time. That isn't always the way it works. When you have organizational ability, sometimes you need to get underneath people and say, is there anything I can help you with? And you'll find a lot of times somebody will say, well, yeah, how about this or how about that? And then that begins to open up the opportunity for you to organize things. And I'm just going to tell you that when God has spoken to your heart and he's given you things, you have to use them. If you don't use them, you know, I'll be honest with you. I knew a sister one time. She said that her ministry was missionary stuff, you know. And I don't know how many times I heard her say that. I never knew of her ever doing one missionary thing. But she'd sure fuss when somebody else did it. And you know what? I'm just telling you, if God has spoken a word to you, hear that word, then be a doer of what he told you to do. You know, I like when Debbie started coming back to church, you know, and she started saying, well, you know, she missed some people when they were missing. Could she send out cards? Could she do this? She came and asked. I said, well, sure. Could I call people? Sure. And, you know, that's a ministry. And it's a tremendous ministry. You know, when Roxy used to be here years ago, sometimes if you hadn't been to church for a couple weeks, a lot of times you would get a card in the mail from Roxy. And you might get some little embroidered thing or some little thing she'd send you. You know what I mean? And just tell you that she loved you or that she appreciated you or something. And, you know, you think, well, that's something little. And I'm going to tell you this, little is much when God's in it. And there's a great song, little is much when God's in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. What a tremendous word. And that's a true word. Go in His name no matter what He tells you to do. If it's just to go next door and help the next door neighbor, or if it's just to encourage somebody, or just to pray for somebody, whatever it is, be obedient in those things. Because I'm telling you what, you don't do the little things, you'll never do the bigger things in God. If you're not willing to do the little, He will not let you do the big. I got news for you. I love that verse 25. It says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. You know, when God speaks a word to you, He speaks a word to you because there's a work to be done. There's a work to be done. And what you need to do is ask Him, Lord, what is that work? What would you have me do? I told you about the poems, and I've shared this with you before, but I had a time when the Lord had given me about 4 or 5 poems at that point. And I hadn't shared any of them, you know. I mean, I had 4 or 5 poems written, and God had inspired them. And I knew it wasn't me that wrote them because, you know, the inspiration would just start coming. Maybe after I read a scripture or heard a sermon or whatever it would be. And, buddy, if I didn't write it down right then, I would forget it, and I couldn't remember it the next time. You know, I remember one time I was playing softball, and I went and I got in the I used to like to take a real hot bath before I'd play softball because it'd get me all loosened up and everything, and I'd be ready to go play. I took a real hot bath, and the Lord started giving me a poem. And I thought, well, man, I'm not getting out of this hot shower. I'll get up and write that down when I get done, you know, after I get done. I couldn't remember one word of what He spoke to me in that situation. You don't do it in your time. You do it in His time. His time. But I just want you to know that the perfect law of liberty in Christ is submission. He spoke that to me years ago. He said, son, the perfect law of liberty in me is you submitting to me. Because when you submit to me, then I can pour myself into you and give you liberty in me. And you won't get liberty if you're disobedient. If God's given you gifts, use those gifts. Because I'm telling you what, if you don't use them, you're just like the man that had the talent and took it and buried it and said, well, I knew you was an astor man, you was a hard man, so I'll give you your talent back. That ain't going to cut it with God. That isn't what He wants. He wants you to take that talent and make it into 2 talents, make it into 10 talents, make it into 20 talents. And when you take your abilities and you begin to give them to God, He can take the limitations totally off. And, you know, that perfect law of liberty is a beautiful thing. And it will not only cause you to be you won't be a forgetful hearer of the word, but you'll be a doer of the work. And this man, the man who does that, will be blessed in all of his deeds. Do you sometimes say, God, why aren't you blessing me more? Why aren't you blessing me in my job? Why aren't you blessing me on things in my school and things that I'm trying to accomplish? I got news for you. Sometimes it's because He's speaking the word to you and you're not becoming a doer of that word. And the word doer there is the same word that's translated as the word poet. So it really spoke to me when I studied into this years ago. Because God was giving me poetry, and I wasn't using it. You know, I wasn't being a doer of that word, a performer of that word. I wasn't sharing it. And when I told the Lord that, if it was because I wasn't sharing that he had cut a poem off right in midstream. He had started giving me that poem about struggle, and I've shared this with you before. He'd started giving me that poem about struggling, and I'd gotten a first line or so of it, why do you struggle and why do you fret, and boom, it stopped. And I'm standing at work, and when it comes, it's not always when I'm praying. It can happen any time. I can be standing at work working in the middle of thinking about a job or something, and boy, the Lord will just start pouring something into me. And if I'm not obedient and write it down right then, forget it. It's gone. And I wrote that down, and then no more of it came. And then later on, I prayed and I said, Lord, why didn't the rest of that poem come? And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, son, when I give you something, you're not sharing it. I'm not going to give you any more if you don't share it. And that was a bad feeling. That was a very bad feeling. And I said, well, Lord, if it's because I'm not sharing, then I'll share. And I was still in that backward stage, and I still was not getting up in front of people or anything like that. And you know, went to camp. Wright. I was trying to think of her last name. I was wanting to say Warren, and I knew that wasn't right. It's Kathy Wright. Basically, said they were going to have a sharing night and asked me if I had anything to share, and I said no. And the Holy Spirit instantly said, "Oh yes, you do." And man, I tell you, it was hard for me to say, okay. I went back to her later on. I said, well, Kathy, I do have something I could share. And boy, I tell you what, it was hard for me to get up and share that poem the first time. And that was the poem about struggle. Why do you struggle? Why do you fret? When all that you accomplish is to get upset, when everything seems to go the wrong way, just lift up your hands and begin to pray. Truly to praise me in all these things, my peace will lift you as though you had wings. As you look on the problems below, I'll give you the strength and wisdom to know that surely I hold you in the palm of my hand. Nothing can touch you unless it's part of my plan. Wow, what a tremendous word. That's ministered to a lot of people. But I'm going to tell you what, it's ministered to a lot of people because I finally agreed to share. Had I not shared, you might have never ever heard that poem. It might not have went out to hundreds of people like it's done. And who knows, maybe even thousands of people. I know people have sent that poem out to a lot of people. And that poem doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. He gave it to me. And you know, it's one of those situations that you have to get willing to share. When you share a little bit, then the next thing you know, he'll open up opportunities for you to share a little bit more, for you to do a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And it'll get bigger and bigger, however big he wants it to get. You know, I know with Joey, with her writing her book, you know, I had heard her talk about writing a book for a long time. And it took you how many years to get around to doing it? 5 years. 5 years. That's a long time, ain't it? It was hard. You were juggling kids and juggling, trying to be a real good mom and working all day and trying to do a lot of different things. But you know what? That's going to be a tremendous blessing to a lot of people. God's going to pour that out, and it's going to bring forth a lot of fruit. But it's going to be all about God, because you were obedient and did what he told you to do. And you know, I'm gonna read you a story here, a little short story, and I'm gonna share one more poem with you about being a doer of the word. And this little story, it said that Cyrus in the Old Testament was the one that, if you go back into Isaiah and you read about it, 400 years before Cyrus came forth, I think that was 400 years, God spoke in Isaiah that he would bring forth his servant, Cyrus, called him by name, before he was ever born. You think God don't work things after the counsel of his own will? He does. And he began to talk about what Cyrus was going to do. He called him his servant. Cyrus never once said, I know the Lord, I know Jehovah. He never said any of that stuff. But when Israel had been in captivity and they wanted to go back and to build the temple again, Cyrus was the one that let him go back. And, you know, God used him tremendously. And God can use anybody out there anytime he wants to. And it's not always the people who are standing up professing to be Christians. But anyway, it says here, it's said of Cyrus, the founder of the Persian Empire, once had captured a prince and his family. And when they came before him, the monarch asked the prisoner, "What will you give me if I release you?" "The half of my wealth," was the reply. "And if I release your children, everything I possess. And if I release your wife, your majesty, I will give you myself." Cyrus was so moved by this devotion that he freed them all. And as they returned home, the prince said to his wife, "Wasn't Cyrus a handsome man?" And his wife replied with a look of deep love for her husband. She said to him, "I didn't notice. I could only keep my eyes on you." Who was willing to give himself for me? That's what we have to do with the Lord. Only keep our eyes on him because he's willing to give himself for us. Are we willing to give ourselves for him? And I'm going to tell you, we need to look in the mirror once in a while and say, "Lord, what am I really willing to do?" And if we do, we're going to find out that we've been lying a lot. We've been saying, "Oh, God, I'll give you everything." Wait till he starts asking for some stuff. Let's see if we're willing to give him everything. Wow. Praise God. Okay, here's the last poem I'm going to share with you. It's called "A Doer of the Word." And it goes like this: "A doer of the word I desire you to be. As you listen to my voice, it will set you free. As you follow the leading of that inner light, it will go brighter and brighter until there is no night. And your life will begin to fade away as you listen to my word and do what I say. Harmony and love will surely abound as the glory of my presence does totally surround. And those around you will be drawn to the light and will exclaim with excitement, 'What a wondrous sight! God and man, how can that be? The outraying of his glory in you and me.'" And that's what God wants to do. He wants to outray himself out of you, out of me, out of all of us. But I'm going to tell you what, if we don't become a doer of the word that God speaks to us, and I'm going to tell you what, sometimes he's going to speak some things to you that are going to sound crazy to your mind. You're going to think, "Lord, is that really you telling me to do that?" I'll tell you what, it'll be him. He told Jeremiah to go down and get down in the slime pit. He told Jeremiah to take this old take his loincloth and put it in some this nasty waste and then to wrap himself in it. And then he told him to go and prophesy to Israel and tell them, "This is like you." Wow. I'm telling you, God sometimes will tell you to do some things. That sounds pretty crazy. But I tell you what, if you're obedient and you do what he tells you to do, when he tells you to do it, it'll have the exact effect it's supposed to have. And you might not get to see the results of it. You might not. And then again, you might. You know, I'm just going to tell you, sometimes he might tell you to do something financially that's just way beyond what you think you're capable of doing. You know, I've shared with you all before, when me and Margaret bought our first house, I had a couple $100 in the bank. And, you know, we had gotten a prophetic word from someone here in this church: "God's going to bless you. He's going to bless you." Well, the interest rates were running at 12% back then. And that was pretty daggone high. And I could just barely make that payment working overtime on that house at 12%. And we had lived in that house for a long time. And when I was writing that poem about struggle, when we were in the process of buying it, all of a sudden all the plumbing starts backing up in the basement. And that was when I was struggling. I was struggling because I didn't have the money. The plumbing's backing up in the basement, all kind of things. And I'm knowing that if I'd let anybody know about that, the bank would have never gave me the money to buy the house. Anyway, I had about a couple hundred dollars in the bank. I get a phone call. I need to borrow $200. First, they went to Margaret. They usually go to Margaret first. Everybody always goes to Margaret first. She's a soft touch. And most of you all, when you call Margaret instead of me. And I get the secondhand information, or then she'll put you with me usually. But usually you'll call her, which is okay because she's Sister Oscar and I'm Brother Margaret, okay? We're one. But anyway, she came to me and she said, so-and-so called and they want to borrow $200. I talked to them on the phone. I said, well, I'll have to pray about that. I'll get back with you. I prayed about it. The Lord said, give it to them. I'm trying to get money together to buy a house. Give it to them. I gave it to them. A little bit later, all of a sudden, I get a little bit of ability to save some money, which I couldn't hardly save any money at that point. All of a sudden, it just seemed like I had the ability to save some money. I got where I had $400 in the bank. I get a call. Another person wants to borrow $400. And I said, well, I'll have to pray about that. And I go and I pray about it. The Lord says, give it to him. I gave it to him. The way that that worked is it went on down the line. All of a sudden, I started having ability to save money. I had a motorcycle that I had bought 5 years earlier. I sold it for almost as much 5 years later as what I paid for it, brand new. Now, that was God, because you can't keep something for 5 years. Everything depreciates the minute you take it out the door. I got almost as much out of it 5 years later as what I did when it was brand new. So I get that money. Next thing I know, I get somebody who had inherited some money, calls me up and says, we didn't tell anybody we needed money. We didn't tell anybody we had a need. We didn't tell anybody anything. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you come running to people and say, I need this, I need that, you just cut yourself off from God doing a miraculous thing and showing you how mighty he is. And we're guilty of that at times. I don't do that. I don't tell you all my needs all the time. If I have a need, I go to the Lord. And I tell him, Lord, you know what I need. You know, and you know what? He always meets me, no matter what it is. He always meets me. And I'm going to tell you, we didn't tell anybody. I get a call from this person, and they say, hey, I'd like to loan you $5,000 for 5 years, interest-free. Pay it back any way you want in the 5 years, as long as you pay it back within 5 years. My first inclination, because I was like my mother a lot, where I was kind of a little bit backward and stuff, my first inclination was to say no. And then I thought about it, and I thought, well, Lord, you know, you're causing this person to do this. So I told him, okay. I paid him the money back within the 5 years. But anyway, I got $5,000. I had another person call me up, and they gave me a couple thousand dollars, you know. So anyway, all of a sudden, it's starting to turn around, and instead of me giving money away, I'm starting to receive money. It's starting to come in. The time I got ready to close, I had $10,000 in the bank in a few months' time. I went from 200 to nothing, to 400 to nothing. Now all of a sudden, it's going the other way, and it goes to 10,000. All the time while this was going on, the interest rates were skyrocketing. They went up to, I think, 17.75% or some ridiculous amount. This was back in the late 70s, early 80s, when inflation was just going crazy. And, you know, I had been stalling the people that were selling me the house, and I'd been telling them, hey, you know, we're about to have a contract negotiations. You know, I want to wait until we get the contract settled, you know, and I'm trying to stall them as much as I could. And then all of a sudden, the interest rates start turning around going the other way. They went back down to 12%. I could afford the house at 12%. I bought the house. And, you know, I had a little bit of money left over in the bank because I didn't put all of it down on the house because, you know, I had a mess in the basement that had to be fixed. And anyway, what ended up happening there, it went to 12%. About 2 weeks after I closed on the house, it went right back up. Started back up. Went back up to about 16%. Stayed up there for a while. Then eventually it started leveling off. But did God do that? I believe he did. I believe that prophetic word where he said, son, I'm going to bless you. He did. But what did it take on my part? It took me being obedient to his word when he said, give it to him. I didn't say I'll loan it to you. He said, give it to him. And I'm going to tell you, when you loan things to people, don't expect it in return. If they give it back to you, wonderful. I know that's a hard thing to say, but if they give it back to you, wonderful. But if God tells you give it to them, give it to them. Don't put no strings on it or anything else. Just do what the Lord tells you. And I'm going to tell you what, I've had many, many instances where God has poured things back through me. And a lot of times when he'll give me something, he'll cause me to turn around and give it to somebody or give part of it to somebody or whatever. But if he tells you, do that. Be a doer of whatever he speaks to your heart. And whenever you become a doer, then you'll be a doer of the work. And then he's going to bless you because that last bit of that verse says, and this man shall be blessed in his deeds. You can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. And I'm just going to tell you, sometimes some of you, the Lord's told you, give this away or give that away, and you've held it back, and then you've watched it, the moths come in and eat it, or the rust come in and take it away, or the furnace broke down, or the car broke down, or something else happened, and all of a sudden, that money that you was hanging on to, or that thing that you was hanging on to so tight, you watched it take the wings of the morning and fly away. But if you'd have been obedient and done what God told you to do, guess what? It would have flew away. But it also, when you casted your bread on many waters, it would have returned. And it would have returned in a greater way. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read that poem to you one more time about doer of a word. And I'm going to close with that. A doer of the word I desire you to be. As you listen to my voice, it will set you free. As you follow the leading of that inner light, it will go brighter and brighter until there is no night. And your life will begin to fade away as you listen to my word and you do what I say. Harmony and love will surely abound as the glory of my presence does totally surround. And those around you will be drawn to the light and will exclaim with excitement, what a wondrous sight. God and man, how can that be? The outraying of his glory in you and me. And that's his desire, is to pour himself into a people. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In us. And it's only going to be revealed as you're obedient and you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I know this is not a real deep word, but it's a necessary word. It's a word that we need to hear. It's something that we need to realize, that the perfect law of liberty in Christ is submission. That song, I Surrender All, is a great, great song. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Don't tell him you surrender it and then hang on with one hand. Don't tell him when you pray for somebody and you feel like he's let you feel the anointing when you prayed for him. Don't hang on with one hand. Don't jump in there and try to interfere. Leave in God's hand. When he tells you to give something away, give it away. Don't expect anything in return. But watch him bring it back 100-fold to you. He will. Praise the Lord. If you all will stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. Praise God. Sometimes we have to go back to the basic, simple things because we find at times we're not doing them like we should be doing them. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, I ask you to help us be a doer of the word. Help us be a poet And the word poet also is the word prophet. The word prophet means a poet. It means someone who brings harmony to things. And Father, that's what you desire of us, is to be harmonious with you. And we'll bring harmony into situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in as you flow through us and you bless those around us. Father, I just ask you right now to just anoint your people, bless them, use them mightily. Let us, Father, begin to move towards setting creation free. You know, it says all creation, they're groaning and travailing, waiting to see the manifestation of the sons of God. In some translations, it says that creation cannot see its reality as of yet because it's been so blinded. But it's been given hope. And you know what that hope is? That in the fullness of time, your body will step up and begin to move into the fullness of you and begin to set creation free. Begin to tell them that you've already paid the price. They've already been forgiven. They're already released. They're already free. They just don't know it. And Father, it's our obligation to begin to tell them. It's our obligation to begin to tell them of the great, wonderful sacrifice that you made, where we can be like the situation with Cyrus, where when Cyrus asked that man, "And what will you give for your wife?" He said, "I'll give myself." And you know, Jesus said that concerning us, the church, his wife. He said, "I'll give myself." And Cyrus set them all free. And you know, creation is desiring to be set free. And it's only going to happen as we get obedient and begin to do the things that God tells us to do. And sometimes it's going to be a hard thing. And sometimes it's going to be a real easy thing, but it's going to go against your natural nature, your carnal nature. But if we're going to flow with him, we're going to have to move into that spiritual nature and do what he tells us to do. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask your blessing upon our people. I just thank you for them. And just let them go forth and to have a wonderful week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If anybody wants prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. We'd be glad to talk with you.